Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. Today we're joined by Rene, the founder of Tiny Fest. We're going to be talking specifically about Tiny Fest California, which is an event that's happening later on in this year in May. So between May the 14th and May the 16th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds in San Diego, there's Tiny Fest California, where you can sort of meet tiny house builders, meet people that have converted their own buses, their own school bus conversions. And it's just going to be a great weekend, loads of food, loads of entertainment. So be sure to stay tuned to listen to more about Tiny Fest California.
Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas podcast, the show where we talk about how to live a more fulfilling life with less. My name's Harry Alvarez-Garman, and I've got tons of exciting guests lined up for you, including authors, entrepreneurs, and tiny house owners. If you love minimalism, sustainable living, personal development, and everything in between, then you're in the right place. On this show, we'll be talking about how you can do more of what you love, how to turn your passion into a career, and how to live more sustainably.
I'm Rene McLaughlin, and I'm the CEO, which I call the crazy event organizer, of Tiny Fest. So I host Tiny Fest California, Tiny Fest Midwest, we have Tiny Fest Northwest, and this year we're adding Tiny Fest Texas. So really excited to be heading down south this year, this fall.
Amazing. Crazy event organizer. I think that's absolutely brilliant. And so what started Tiny Fest then? How many years has it been running, and what's been going on at the festival?
Well, I started with Tiny Fest Midwest in 2017. Yeah. And I had gotten a tiny house myself, a little teeny tiny 87 square foot tiny house on wheels I pulled behind my...
God, that is tiny.
Yeah. And I lived there for over 4 years, like almost 4.5 years.
Amazing.
But... yeah, it's amazing what can work for you when you want it, you know? So anyway, I took my tiny house to a festival, the National Tiny House Jamboree, and I actually sold t-shirts there. I'm kind of a little entrepreneur type, you know? So
rather than
just going and walking around, I went and paid for my way with these t-shirts, and I had so much fun doing it.
Amazing.
So anyway, I went to a few other festivals and sold my t-shirts. They say tiny on. So, you know, like rock on, but tiny
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Carry on. Yeah. Tiny on. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. So anyway, after going to a few of them, I said, we need this in the Midwest because it seemed like the festivals were down in the Southeast United States. There were some in Colorado, but definitely not in the Midwest where I'm from, Iowa. And people just didn't understand why, you know, why someone would live in a small house. As a matter of fact, I'd like to tell people this little story. When I first got my tiny house, and I would tell people, you know, that, oh, I live in a tiny house. I got so often over and over, oh, it's okay, honey. You know, like poor little thing. It's okay, honey. You'll get a bigger one someday.
And I'm thinking,
no, you don't get it.
You're missing the point. Yeah.
I did this on purpose. So, it was great to have the festival there in the Midwest.
Yeah.
At that time, the houses were becoming more and more popular with like Tiny House Nation and a few shows. So people started to know. And one of the benefits, which is still a great benefit at the festivals, is that you get like-minded people together.
Exactly.
So when you have an idea like tiny houses, that's not, you know, very mainstream, you kind of feel like, you know, an outsider, you're the only one, or, you know, maybe you're weird for thinking this way. Right.
Mm.
And when you get to meet other people that think the same way, it's so refreshing and so nice that you can have these great conversations and you feel supported, and you don't have to explain yourself or why not an RV, or what would you want to do that for? And, you know, you just get to have the good conversation, jump right to the good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was really fun at the first event. So many other people had said the same thing. And shortly after that, the tiny houses became so popular that I went from being a, you know, poor, pathetic thing that maybe could get a bigger house someday to, I always say, a rock star. I felt like a rock star. My friends would say, oh, this is my friend Renee. She lives in a tiny house. And they go, oh, really? Like those ones you see on TV? That's so cool. And I'm thinking, now I'm cool. Last year I was pathetic. But now I'm cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's just not important, but it is kind of a fun to see the shift in.
It helps.
Shift in acceptance and understanding. So
exactly. That's the thing. I think it was huge what you mentioned there about sort of being around like-minded people and it being an event where, because obviously the tiny house community online and in person is just huge. And there's so many like-minded people that can sort of all come together, I guess, into one place, all meet each other, have a look around tiny houses, have conversations, listen to music, and do loads of other fun stuff. So it's amazing. And also for the people that are listening, I'll be obviously COVID dependent, hopefully coming out to California in May for Tiny Fest, which I'm amazingly excited about, really, really looking forward to. And I just can't wait to sort of, like you said, meet like-minded people, have a look around and just enjoy the weekend.
Yes. It's a great place to just have some really good conversations. We have privately owned homes that are coming. So people like myself and others that have a lot of those are vans, school buses, gypsy wagons, the kind that are a little more easy to transport, right? And they are just there to help you on your tiny journey. They're there to answer your questions. They show you what they've done and how they've done it and help you. They're not, they're not getting paid. They're just there to be ambassadors of this lifestyle.
Exactly. So, and show you can do it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So it's a great place to a lot of information, inspiration, ideas, and connections. And so, and in addition to the privately owned homes, we have professionally built show models.
Yeah.
So pro builders will come, bring their home, and show you what they can do and what these options can be. And those are mostly the tiny houses on wheels, some park models. Often we'll have a tiny house that's on a it won't be on a foundation at the event, but it'll be one that's intended to go on a foundation, not on wheels.
Yeah.
Couple of van conversion companies, so then you really get to talk to them too about maybe the options that are available if you want to buy instead of build, and where you can place these things. That's such a huge question right there.
Exactly.
What are your options? How do you finance it? And they can help with those questions. So
exactly. That's amazing. Exactly. And it's great, like you say, to be able to have the people that have self-built, that have self-converted, whether it be their schoolies, whether it be their vans or self-built tiny homes. So people that are coming along that are interested in doing a self-build similar to that, they can sort of speak, they can seek advice, get inspiration as well, look around and see all the sort of nifty tips and tricks, all the storage. But also on the flip side of that, they can also meet the people that build them professionally and have conversations about them if they're interested in having a tiny house professionally built or a van professionally converted. So that there's both ends of the spectrum there that will sort of suit everyone's needs that's coming along.
It's great. It really is bringing those two sides together, and it's kind of nice, like no matter what type of tiny living you're looking to do, you can learn things from say it's a van and that you're talking to the owner of a van, but you're really not going to be driving around in a van. That's not your gig. You can still learn so much from them and
exactly
what they've done and how they've arranged their home and the resources that they use. So you can learn from no matter what type of home that you're looking for. If it's tiny and small, then you can learn something from these folks. So.
Exactly. It ticks all the boxes, doesn't it? It's amazing. Yeah. And like you said, as well as speaking to the people that might not sort of be in direct relation, you can learn from them, make friends, make connections. And it's a great networking event, I can imagine, as well, because you can sort of go there. People will know people and it will be able to sort of help you out in any way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, definitely. There's also a marketplace, Simple Living Marketplace, which that's
Simple
really
Living
kind
Marketplace.
Of fun. And and then we have, we're all about, informing and inspiring and helping the tiny movement along. And I have a little something to tell you about that in a minute, but
of course,
but inspiring and informing, we have two stages going at all hours. Well, except the first hour of the event, because when people get in that gate, they just want to go look at tiny houses right away.
Exactly.
Can't blame them, but but otherwise we have two stages going with speakers, workshops, panel discussions. And we're really excited. You're the first one to know. I don't know if by the time the podcast is released, if this will be out there or not, but Zach Giffen from Tiny House Nation.
Oh, amazing.
Keynote speaker on Saturday.
Amazing.
So that's exciting. Yeah.
That's really exciting. Oh, brilliant stuff. Amazing.
And you're speaking?
Yes, I'm really, really looking forward to that. We've got two talks, grow and monetize an Instagram following and running an online business from the tiny house industry. So for everyone that's listening to the podcast, definitely worth coming along. And there'll be, like we said, loads of really exciting speakers, lots to learn. And I'm really, really excited about speaking as well and being able to sort of share some of the things I've picked up along the way and obviously meet people as well. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And another thing I haven't announced, you're getting all
the
scoops.
There we go. Yeah.
You get all the scoops if you listen to this podcast. we're actually setting up a live stream of the main stage. We'd like to do the community stage as well, but you know, we're taking one step at a time, see what we can done, because we want to make sure it's done well. Mm. But definitely live streaming the main stage presentations and just like $5 ticket, you know, whether you purchase an in-person ticket and you want to catch those other days, or you just nowhere near California, or, you know, maybe you're still worried that, you know, COVID is an issue. Some people have that, you know, extra health concerns and they don't want to be out in public. That is fine. You can listen to all the presentations. $5. It's a no brainer. It's great.
Exactly. For the price of a coffee and you'd learn so much and listen. It's amazing. I think that's a great idea. So yeah, exactly. Coffee there. But no, I think it's amazing to be able to sort of be, as well as people being able to look at these pretty houses and looking at sort of meeting all the people and looking at the living marketplace as well. They can also have the chance to take so much on board, to ask questions, to interact with people that they might have seen online, on social media or on TV in Zach's case. And just amazing to be able to interact with these people. And especially, like you said, great to have it online. So people that aren't sort of near the California area can still catch those talks and can still interact.
Yes. Yeah. It's really exciting. It's the first time we've done it. So we're really working hard to get all the bugs worked out, you know, how technology can be as
exactly,
but we're working to make that just a great option for people. So
amazing. Amazing. And you mentioned briefly about sort of people being concerned with COVID earlier. And I wanted to touch on that as well to sort of reassure people that are listening that you've sort of got everything in place in terms of the COVID regulations. There's a sort of cap on the amount of people per day and things like that. Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind just sort of going into that so we can tell people at home.
Sure. Yes. So we're following the regulations for the county of San Diego County. So we will have a cap on the number of people per day, which is one of the reasons that we extended it to 3 days is so we can spread people out. And the event space is, you know, spread out as well. So we'll have all the things going on, the sanitizing, you know, gels and wiping things down.
Exactly.
Masks are required at this point. If something changes in the County of San Diego, we will adapt with that. However, and it's on our website, by the way, tinyfest.events. There's information there. Right now masks are required and, you know, you can only enter the house with folks that you, like the tiny houses that you're going to tour, you can only enter them with folks from your own household. So you won't be in there going, you know, back and forth, nose to nose with strangers. So only folks. So, that's a few of the little things. And we have a team we call a CARE team, which is COVID Aware Responsible Event is our little acronym. A team of people that are going to be, you know, wandering around, making sure that that others are reminded to try and social distance and be respectful of others.
That's really reassuring to hear, especially when you mentioned in the actual tiny house, because obviously with it being such a small confined space, it's great to hear that sort of people that are in the same household or bubble, I guess, it can just be them. They can look around, have their own time slot, and then that sort of allows them to look at the space properly before sort of swapping over to someone else. So that's really good to hear.
It's hard to social distance in a tiny house, you know?
It is. Very true. So it's good that you've got all of that covered and that you've got the team that's sort of going around making sure everything's going to be sanitary and safe for everyone. So you mentioned the cap on people. It was, if I remember rightly, 5,000 people per day.
Yeah, roughly.
We're looking at the moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, roughly. It depends on how many hours we're open that day. So Friday, we're 12 to 6. Saturday, we're 10 to 6. So we can have a few more people on Saturday because extended hours to spread them out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the end of the day is a great time to come. I mean, I wouldn't come too late because you might not get through.
Yeah, you don't want to miss anything. Yeah.
But, you know, coming a little later in the day and staying till the end, that's a great time because usually people are kind of waning off by then.
So, exactly. So you can sort of have more chance to sort of speak to people and see them when they're a bit less busy.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you mentioned the marketplace as well, and there's going to be some vendors and some stalls coming. Would you mind sort of sharing some of the stalls, some of the products or the people that will be available there?
Sure. Yeah. There are several builders that will be, in the marketplace. Say maybe they don't have a show model or they have accessory dwelling units. So ADUs, which are very, very popular there in that San Diego and Los Angeles areas. Yeah. So those builders that really can't bring a home, some of them will be in the marketplace. And then there's, solar composting toilet. So there's very much tiny house related items, but then there's other items too. We have Veggie Dome was a great one last year that people love to see, this product that helps keep your vegetables, fresh, I guess is the best word, fresh, because they lasted longer and in a beautiful glass display. So, things like that, a jewelry person, some artists will be there. We're really excited to be able to share that. We just like to highlight things that are eco-friendly. So we have a few of those type products and individuals, not the big corporations that you might see that go from one expo to the next expo. And, you're kind of like wondering, well, I hope this doesn't break because I'll never see this company again, We try to help those that are, starting up a new product or artists or small business and really are doing something unique and interesting and good for the environment. That's who we tried to get to come to the show.
No, I love that. I think that's brilliant. I think having an emphasis, like you said, on small business, on sort of eco-friendly products, on eco-friendly businesses, rather than sort of like the bombardment of all these big corporations, it's great to sort of focus on the individual. And that sort of really, really shows through, because people obviously, like we said, can make those connections. They can sort of make friends. They can find tiny houses, find converters, and also products that will sort of help them live a more sort of a life that's more sort of intentional, I guess, is the big thing.
Definitely. And I think tiny house people are very innovative, creative, outside the box thinkers. And that's the kind of folks that we try to showcase in the marketplace as well.
So. Amazing. And in terms of sort of things that people can do on the day as well, in terms of food and drinks, refreshments.
Yeah. There is food available. We actually have the San Diego Home and Garden Show is going to be next door.
Amazing. Okay.
So that's a really fun thing you can do. If you get a ticket to Tiny Fest, we'll have at the gate, we'll have discounts for the tickets to the Home and Garden Show. So you can hit both, and there'll be food set up for both of those. The concessionaires at the San Diego Fairgrounds will be there. And so we also have entertainment.
Amazing.
J7 Productions will be doing some entertainment throughout the day and a music stage, which is actually a van studio set up.
Brilliant. That's very fitting, isn't it? Very fitting.
Yes. So they'll be out there, and some of our very own tiny dwellers will be performing there. And so that's awesome to hear their skills and add that vibrancy to the event. We call it a festival because we want to really, have fun and be relaxed and have a vibrant place to learn and connect.
So. Exactly. I love that as well. The music, I can sort of imagine it now, sort of like closing my eyes, walking around, seeing the tiny houses, music on, there's food stalls, there's all sorts. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
No, it really does.
we just try to cover everything, which is hard to do, but definitely want to create something that people enjoy and something that is good for the movement. I mentioned that I was going to come back to that. Amongst the speakers and workshops, we'll have some discussions about how to be an advocate for the tiny house movement. A lot of people are saying, well, I can't put it anywhere. I don't know how to get this approved from my city. So we have some presentations that can help individuals through that process. On the other end, what a lot of people don't see, we don't really publicize it a lot because it's not an event for the general public, but the day before the festival, we have a tiny house symposium. And so we invite policymakers and change makers from the area, and they listen to speakers that are experts in tiny house code and regulation. So Dan Fitzpatrick will be speaking at this. He's the one that wrote the code for San Diego, for Los Angeles, I think here at Fresno, like he is the man about tiny house regulation.
The man for it. Yeah.
The man. Yeah. So he'll be speaking to the policymakers and change makers from San Diego area, as well as Jenny Crane, who's a local San Diego expert on code and tiny house regulation. Mm. And so these folks will get, kind of a little bit of an expanded education, you know, to what they already know about tiny houses and how their communities can be more tiny house friendly and yeah. expand their regulations to allow them. So then after the presentations, they actually go tour the tiny houses that are there that the professional builders have built. So they can see that these, you know, how these are built and what codes they line up to and what the yeah. differences are between the different
exactly.
types.
Yeah.
So we kind of try to hit the advocacy from both ends. You know, we talk to the people that are making the change that are in the position to make that change on those policies, change those policies, and the folks that want the change to occur and see if we can, you know, kind of edge them together a little bit, right? So that
exactly.
they can finally meet in the middle and,
yeah.
and get things approved. So
that is amazing. I think that is, as well as it being a festival to sort of showcase this, to bring people together, it's really doing good as well, because it's really sort of putting the emphasis into how we can actually make this a viable option for people and how we can sort of speak yeah. to the people that are able to make these decisions, that are sort of at the top of the ladder, who can sort of say, I've spoken to these people, I understand this, I've seen the home. So it's amazing that, as well as it being a sort of platform for the people that are interested in tiny houses to sort of explore them, it's also a platform to sort of be able to do good, to reach the people that can hopefully make these changes for the greater good.
Yep, exactly. That's the goal, because, you know, it's wonderful to have this dream of living simple and having
yeah.
a tiny house and just getting rid of all that stuff and the
yeah.
financial stress and all the distraction of all the items around you and be able to get out in the world. It's a wonderful dream, but it
exactly.
can't really come true for so many people if it's not allowed,
yeah.
you know, so if it's not a legal dream. So legalizing tiny houses has to be a priority for anyone who loves them, really.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, because it will sort of help with the momentum as well of the sort of the officials, the people see that there's so many people who are sort of invested in this idea, festivals like yours and sort of online platforms as well, where sort of people are becoming so interested and invested in tiny houses. People who are in the position to make these decisions, being able to sort of recognize that and understand that, it's just all hopefully going to continue snowballing. And then before we know it, then tiny houses will be even more prominent than they are at the moment.
Exactly.
Which is the dream.
You know, I had a friend tell me
yeah.
that she said, remember when there was no such thing as a food truck? You know,
exactly.
restaurants
yeah.
were brick and mortar, and the food truck industry had to go through the same thing. Wait, how are we going to regulate this? What are we going to do about waste? Where are you going to dispose of things? Where can you park?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. And they figured it all out. It took a while. A lot of people don't know all the background that went into it. And so, you know, whenever there's something new and different, a square peg in a round hole, as they say, it takes a while to reshape things.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's about being able to embrace the change rather than sort of being scared of it. And everyone that's listening, obviously interested in tiny houses, everyone that's sort of watching this as well, it's great to sort of be able to inform people that aren't sort of necessarily interested in tiny houses as an option for themselves, but sort of be able to spread the word and to sort of build the community so that the word does get out there. And obviously the media as well will find out and sort of be able to continue publicizing, and it will become sort of more publicly accepted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you said something in there that interested me. Tiny houses aren't for everyone.
Mm.
Like you said, you know, maybe you're not interested yourself, but what a great option for someone else. And so why
exactly.
not support it? You know,
if
it is something that can help someone else improve their life, then I'm for that, you know, even if it's not for me. So
exactly. Yeah. About sort of being able to share that and sort of make everything work for everyone, and then we'll all be happy.
Yes.
That's the plan, at least. That's the plan.
Yeah. But
Love it
is for me. It is for me,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
As clearly living that little house, I've recently switched over to a small school bus.
Amazing.
So I've gone up about, I don't know, 10 square feet more than I have before.
Have you noticed a difference?
Yes.
You have.
I have. And the home that I bought was not... was not really designed as a tiny house. It was designed a little more as a, like maybe a hunting cabin or a little more of a camper style, in that it just wasn't designed for everyday living. It was maybe designed for weekend life.
Yeah.
And this house was designed from me to be a space that would be the way I use space, which was a nice thing about living in the little tiny house. When you get in there, you realize how you use space, what's more important to you. And it's great if you can realize that ahead of time, right? Because you can plan your home that way. With a tiny house, you can't have everything. So if you want a big kitchen, that's awesome. You're going to have to give a little bit somewhere else. So where is it? What area of life do you want to give a little space, and what area do you want to gain? So, so I've noticed a lot of difference in that, in the way it was designed. That makes a big difference in how you enjoy your space.
Exactly. I think what you mentioned as well about sort of people being able to understand how they use space and to understand what works for them, I think that's sort of very relevant to the times we're in at the moment in terms of COVID and everything, because with people who have sort of been working remotely, who have been working from home, maybe doing school online, people have sort of spent a lot more time at home, and they've been able to understand sort of areas of their house that they use a lot, areas of the house that might be underutilized, for example, if they're in a conventional house. And I think that's also going to lead to a lot more people sort of being interested in the tiny house movement. And I think that the increase in popularity will sort of continue.
Absolutely. A lot of the builders that I've been talking to are finding that interest has gone up in tiny houses. I think people realize with COVID how important it is for them to have their finances in a place where they're not crunching for every month, where they have some security, right? Where they have freedom and they have security, and how they can be self-sustaining. I have a solar system, so I don't need to plug in. There are so many things that you can do to be more self-reliant, and I don't want to say everybody, go off in your own little bubble, right? But when you're self-reliant for yourself or with the community, of people, then that's a great spot to be in.
Exactly, it's powerful. Exactly. Amazing. Well, going back to sort of how people are sort of changing their shifts. And like you said, the builders that you've spoken to have seen an increase in demand. I do think that it's like almost rejecting the status quo or the American dream that so many people sort of had ingrained into them, I guess. And COVID, like you say, in terms of people wanting to have their finances sorted, people sort of wanting to reduce their debt to sort of have more job security, possibly even work for themselves. I have seen and noticed, I'm sure you have as well, the mindset shift of people who are now sort of looking to live life on their own terms rather than sort of what society has ingrained into them as the way they should live.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. And it's something it's kind of hard to open your eyes to, why have you followed the path you followed?
Yeah, it takes something so huge to make that happen sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, because you go along and it's kind of like everyone around you said, this is what you do.
It's comfortable.
Yes. And so how nice to step out of that comfort, or maybe we were pushed out of that comfort and now we're stepping back into a place of comfort, but in a different way, in our own terms.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. I think that's huge. Like you say, being on your own terms and being able to sort of to make your choices intentionally and to be able to sort of choose the life that you lead. And there's so many things that people can sort of take away from the festival about that. And like we mentioned, going back to the talks, in terms of sort of how to, for people that are interested in sort of becoming more sort of nomadic in the sense of having their own business that they can run online remotely, maybe. There'll be talks of sort of people who have done this before and who can sort of give them advice on how they can sort of leave their 9-to-5 and be able to work for themselves. There'll be talks on sort of sustainability, I can imagine as well, in terms of sort of how to make tiny houses as eco-friendly as possible, because obviously that's a huge thing for people as well.
Variety of presentations is great. We're talking to people that want to have a unit in their backyard for themselves. Maybe they're going to rent it out. Maybe someone that wants to put a unit in someone else's backyard. Folks that want to live in their tiny house in one location, maybe for a year or 3 years or 10 years, and people that want to move locations every day. So
exactly.
You've got that spectrum, and it's just... I love the people that come in and speak at Tiny Fest because they're just so genuinely there to help and share. And there's just nothing better than a community that's all about supporting.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a quick mention to Tiny House Ideas. So Tiny House Ideas is my business, is my company. It's been what I've been working on for the last 5 years in the long term, and especially over lockdown, over the last year or so, I've really put some time, energy and effort into building this business. So Tiny House Ideas obviously started with an Instagram page, and it has grown and developed into the business that it is today. It's the perfect free platform for anyone interested in the tiny house movement, in the tiny house community. First of all of the images that I feature on Instagram, you can find out more information. You can get a full fact file over on the website. As well as that, there's a really cool tool called Find Me a Builder, where for free, I will personally pair a few tiny house builders with you based on your requirements, and that will save you going through hours and hours of searching through Google results. Take the stress out of it for you, really. And obviously, it's no obligation. I'll send you a few recommendations, and it's up to you what you do with them. Another section of the website is the approved builders section. So I've been working with a few tiny house builders that I really stand behind, that I see the value in their work. So there's a profile there to sort of tell you more about them, and so you can contact them directly if you've got any jobs that you're interested in. And finally, on the website, there's a section for tiny house vacations. So if you guys are looking to go away and to try the tiny house movement, to try the tiny house living, but don't know if you want to commit to it, if you don't want to live there just yet, then a vacation is a really, really great way to sort of get acclimatized, to learn more about it. And you can do that by clicking on the vacations tab of the Tiny House Ideas website and learning more and searching through some amazing holiday homes.
I think I love the online tiny house community. When you meet in person, wow, there's something there about just that impact and, you know, really getting to know someone. And what we don't see are a lot of the negative comments. You ever get online and somebody's just all negative about things? Like, why? What's the point in that? But anyway, we don't have that negativity. It's just all about the solutions and the ways that you can turn this into a positive.
Yeah.
And think, we do talk about things to look out for, you know, everybody wants to know, what mistake did you make? Because I don't want to make it, you know, and we're all about helping that way too. But we just don't dwell on that, you know?
Exactly. So. Exactly. No, and I think, like you said, the difference between sort of online communities and in person is huge, sort of being able to interact and to see these people. And I think especially going back to the year that we're still in the last 12 months or so that we've been having with COVID. Obviously, Tiny Fest last year was online, if I remember rightly. So it'll be sort of great to have. No, it wasn't. Yeah.
It was right before COVID.
Oh, it was right before COVID, was it?
Right before. Yeah, it was amazing. It was this wonderful, beautiful event to, you know, 13,000 people. And then 2 weeks later, the world comes to an end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's true. None of us were expecting it. And it'll sort of be great after the last year we've had to sort of be able to. That interaction and that community, the sense of community that we've all been missing for so long. We can sort of all come together, have a great time and have some lovely food, have some lovely drinks and meet people and just explore this amazing place.
Right. Yes. And then we all go back to the online connections. So it's kind of fun when you're online, you go, oh, I've seen those folks. I've met those people. Or you know, you just feel a little more comfortable asking a question maybe, or enjoy seeing that, what they're doing today, what life is bringing them. So
exactly. Amazing. And then in terms of sort of, you mentioned people that will be at the festival and people that sort of have got these connections already. Is there a resource that people can sort of go to, for example, if I'm interested in buying a ticket and I'd like to sort of see in advance who's going to be there? Is there a place on the website that we can send people to? Or
sure. Yeah. The website itself does have quite a bit of information. There's a tab for California. And you can see who, you know, we don't have everyone on there, but you can see who is coming to the festival as far as the builders. Some of the privately owned homes are on there as well, the resources in the marketplace. And when we get that speaker workshop panel discussion lineup done, that will be on there as well. And a ticket page there. So that's probably the best resource to find everything in one spot. Of course, we have Facebook and Instagram, and there's a Facebook event, you know, so you can get your tickets right through there and learn more. But if you want to know something in particular, I'd say tinyfest.events is the place to go.
Amazing. Well, there'll be links to sort of all of these resources that we've mentioned and the list of people that will be in the marketplace, the list of vendors that will all be in the description for people that are listening, and obviously places to buy their tickets as well. And then we mentioned that it was under the California tab. And you mentioned earlier as well, that there was also the Texas, Midwest and Northwest festivals that you were looking to do. Is that something that that will be happening this year or next year or?
Well, Texas, that'll be happening late this fall.
Amazing.
That's in Austin this year. So that actually is first year in Texas. So we're really excited to be in Austin, September 25th and 26th.
Yeah.
Northwest and Midwest just looks like it's probably not going to happen this year, but we're looking at next year where we can be. It's just things are still a little off, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll probably be for a while, but we're getting back into the groove.
Getting the ball rolling again.
Yes. So making those connections and being able to enjoy people face to face.
Yeah. So. Completely. And Texas is an amazing place because there's such a big community there as well. There's so many tiny house builders, so many tiny house dwellers as well. So I'm sure that'll be great fun for people that sort of maybe aren't in the California area in May, but Texas might be nearer to them. Then it'll be amazing sort of to have this traveling all over the country as well, rather than just sort of fixed to one location. And it's not even fixed to the location because obviously you've got the live stream as well for the talks, which we all can listen to.
We plan to continue that. This is our trial run, and we're getting all set up and doing all the back end research. And hopefully we'll just be able to expand on that at each event, just to be able to reach more people, because it is hard to get to a location on a certain weekend. I mean, we do have people that fly in for the events from all over the country, but you know, other times it's like, oh, my friend's getting married that weekend, or I can't get the time off. So,
exactly.
You know, we just want to be able to reach as many people as we can with that positive influence and help them create their journey and their path to tiny living.
Yeah, exactly.
Get all those obstacles out of the way and get going with it.
Exactly. No, it makes perfect sense. And for people that are listening that sort of might be abroad or might be in a different state, then obviously that there'll sort of be lots of content coming out after the event as well. So they can sort of, they can catch up, they can sort of have, I know for a fact that I'll sort of be, hopefully, obviously, if I'm there in terms of COVID, be able to sort of go around to tour these tiny houses before the festival opens, so that we're not sort of interrupting anyone, but we can sort of have a look through and look around these tiny homes and sort of share those videos with you. So people that are listening can look forward to some tours, some videos, some interviews, some podcasts similar to this, and lots more content coming out of Tiny Fest.
Absolutely. I always say every tiny house has a story, and it's usually a pretty good story, you know? So I think it's great that you'll be sharing some of those stories with people and the way folks have expressed themselves and their journey in life.
Yeah, completely. Amazing. So in terms of logistics at the festival, obviously we've been discussing the Tiny Fest in California in May. So the dates of that, if I'm right, is Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th, and Sunday the 16th of May.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
The hours vary a little bit each day. So you probably want to check the website. Friday starts at noon, Saturday at 10, Sunday at 10, but we end an hour early. So, you know, you have to be on your toes for the times.
Exactly. But, best place to look is the website then, in terms of logistics, in terms of timings, where people can sort of find it and everything.
Yes. Tiny Fest events, look up that California tab, or you can click on the icon for California. I think right on the homepage, it says more info. You can click there. There's just all kinds of ways to get to, when you're on the website, to that information. To the ticket page, where you can purchase a ticket. Because of COVID and because we have restrictions on how many people can be there each day, we're selling only tickets for one day. Like last year we had a weekend pass. That's not available this time. And last year you could get a ticket and then show up on Saturday or Sunday. But this time we need to know when you're coming. So
you need to know the numbers. That makes sense.
Yep. So there's a Friday ticket, a Saturday ticket, Sunday ticket. They're each the same price. Online it's $15. We're getting word that we might be able to sell them at the gate, and they would be 20 there if we can. Okay. But that just depends on how things are going at that time, because we'd really like to have a touchless entry, you know, no lines, where we can just really quickly get people in and they're not, you know, standing. I don't know. It's hard to socially distance a line.
Exactly.
No, 6 feet. You think we'd know by now, but still, like,
some people know better than others. Yeah. It sounds like the best way to get tickets then, to sort of make everything really smooth on the way in, is to purchase your tickets online, and give you a good idea of who's coming, so you can sort of get everything else sorted, make sure that all of the regulations are passed. So in terms of sort of making sure that you get your ticket booked and that you don't need to worry on the day, also save yourself some money, the best place to look is online. So there'll be links to that in the description below for people that are listening. But no, that sounds great. And in terms of the location in San Diego, it's the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
Yes, the Del Mar Fairgrounds is such a fabulous place. I mean, it's a hop, skip, and a jump from the ocean, right? You could walk a block or so and jump in the water if you wanted. So that it's a beautiful spot to be, but it's on the north side of San Diego. So it makes it really easy for folks in Los Angeles to come down. We had tons of people from LA last year hop down, they just get on I-5, and the fairgrounds itself is just right off the interstate. So it's just a super easy location and a beautiful location for people all over South California and Southeast US. So
amazing. Amazing. Then in terms of sort of people that are traveling, like you said, maybe from California or from the sort of neighboring states, is there sort of a best place for them to park, for them to stay, maybe if they're staying overnight or?
Yeah, a lot of people ask us if they have their own self-contained rig, can they stay in the parking lot? And unfortunately, Del Mar Fairgrounds is a little particular about their parking lot. So by the way, they do charge $10 for parking. Totally out of my control. But anyway, so you can't actually just stay in the parking lot overnight. They do have a campground area that you can park in. I don't know, it's like $35-$40 a night or something like that. So a lot of folks just find, you know, maybe they get on iOverlander or ask someone in the area where they can park, and there's places that people can park their rig. There's hotels nearby. I'll just be adding the link here within a day or two from this recording, but the Hilton is within walking distance, and they've just offered us a rate, you know, a low rate for the folks that are coming to Tiny Fest. So I'll put that on the website as well. They just offered that yesterday, so we'll get that going. And so
there are
all kinds of places. Of course, Airbnbs are fun, you know, and that's always a good way to get to know people too in the area and get a local's perspective on where to go to eat. And
and an Airbnb is sort of a great opportunity as well for people to find somewhere cheaper to stay, maybe in the hotels as well, which is great. And for the people that are listening, we're recording this on the 2nd of April, on Friday the 2nd of April, and hopefully people will be listening on Sunday the 11th if all goes to plan. So by then it will sort of be about a month out almost, and they can sort of look to get those plans finalized and look to book their tickets.
Yes. Well, there's a couple other interesting places to stay.
Of course. Yeah, go ahead.
Tiny House Block is a tiny house village. People live there nightly, maybe. You know, you can rent a tiny house. I almost said hotel. You can rent a tiny house for the night. You can also rent one by the month, or people that have their own tiny houses will be there and rent a space. So that's a great place. It is about, I think it's about 45 minutes or so up in the mountains, but you know, it's a nice drive in. And then it just escaped me, the other option I was going to mention.
No problem.
The other option is the best option. It's staying at the festival in a tiny house. So Experience Tiny Homes is bringing their tiny house, and they're having a raffle where you can enter to win the one night stay in their tiny house at the festival.
Amazing. That is brilliant.
Yeah, it's really fun. When the gates close, you know, at 6 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, 5 o'clock on Sunday, we, you know, once people have gone out and gone back to their lives, the folks that are there with their tiny homes, we just relax. We'll have like a potluck, you know, a lot of them are musicians, so we'll play some music and just kind of hang out together in the evening and unwind. And whoever, you know, wins the night stay at that tiny house will be joining us. So it's
amazing.
That
is a great opportunity. It'd be amazing for the person that's sort of able there to win that and stay overnight, to sort of be able to experience more of the community as well, and to stay in a tiny house, of course.
Yeah, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You get that you know, experience in a tiny house. What is it like? How does that feel to you? That's really important, I think, stepping inside of them and really getting a feel for what would work for you. And then being able to hang out with all of these people that, you know, are living tiny day in and day out. And you can either just kick back and enjoy, maybe bring your own instrument if you have one, or you can sit there and ask people questions all night long. We don't mind.
Honestly, listening to all of this and just sort of thinking of the time that we're going to have, I'm really, really excited about coming, about speaking, about sort of meeting the people and the evenings as well. Like you say, sort of being able to relax, to have some food and some drinks with everyone, like-minded people as well, and just have that community aspect.
Yes. Yeah.
It all sounds amazing. Fabulous. No, I'm really excited. I am really excited.
Get that plane ticket.
Exactly. I was going to ask as well, in terms of sort of, you mentioned earlier that there's going to be the COVID marshal sort of be making sure everything's nice and sanitary. Are you still looking for sort of volunteers for the day in terms of to help you out as well?
Yeah. We have a lot of volunteers because people really love to join the crew, which is really fun.
Yeah, the tiny crew.
But this year with COVID, of course, we want to have an even expanded volunteer base so we can, you know, be more helpful and really be on top of things. So there are some volunteer options open that that's also on the website.
Yeah.
And you get a Tiny Fish t-shirt, and you get your ticket for the day is paid for. So it's like a 3-hour shift and they're really easy, easy tasks, you know? So it's nothing, we're not going to have you lifting anything heavy or, you know, exerting a lot of energy. It's just really chill, chill, helpful things. And then you get a look around while you're helping and also afterward or before. So
and get some free gear.
Yeah.
Well, amazing. Yeah, exactly. And it sounds great for people that are sort of that are interested in coming, that are sort of interested in helping out as well and be able to get their ticket for free. Great option for them. And just to like we said, meet new people and to take home a lovely t-shirt.
Yep. <It's> pretty awesome. Color blue.
Amazing stuff. Well, we've sort of been through everything about Tiny Fest California. For people that are listening, as we've said before, the tickets, you can purchase those in the link in the description. There'll be sort of links to resources so we can sort of find out more about the festival, keep up to date with the updates in terms of COVID, in terms of the people coming and where to buy your tickets, where to stay. And also once we've once you've sort of had through the Hilton rates as well, we can sort of publicize that with everyone. So if there's anything you'd like to add, any sort of final comments about the festival and sort of looking forward to see people or...
I'm so looking forward to seeing people. The folks that really take part in Tiny Fest, you know, that are in that tiny dweller village, or my team of friends and family that come from all over the country to help, you know, at the front gate and answer questions and get people settled. Everyone's so excited. I have so many people that actually plan their year around Tiny Fest, you know.
Wow.
So they say, well, we're not sure where we're going to go this year, but we know we're going to California in May and we're going to Texas in September and we're going to fill in the dots in between.
That is brilliant.
That is such a compliment, you know. That they are just so excited to be there and love to connect with the others. And once you've gone to a few, you can see some of the same people, because like I said, some people
familiar
come from
faces.
One to the other, and it's great. Like, oh, I haven't seen you in, you know, 4 months or whatever it's been since the last Tiny Fest. And so it's just a fabulous place to get together with old friends and make new ones. And I love every bit of it.
Exactly. Well, no, you deserve those compliments that you just mentioned, and a huge congratulations and a thank you, I guess, on behalf of the Tiny House community for organizing such a special event and for sort of bringing all of these amazing people together and sort of hosting this for everyone.
Yeah, it's a fun job. It is challenging. There are a lot of different pieces.
Lots and lots of work that goes into it. Lots to balance.
A lot of details. You're right. A lot to balance, but it's so worth it. Come that weekend, you know, about the week before, I'm thinking, why do I do this? You know, why I'm possessed, right? Or something. I must be crazy. And then that weekend comes and it's like, oh, this
is worth it.
This is why. Look at all these people that are so thankful and so happy to be there and sharing with their family. I love when people will bring, you know, my mom's not real sure about this, so I brought her to the festival, and by the end she's like, oh, this I
loving
could see her doing this, I feel better about it now, you know. And so that is great, just knocking down barriers, and I love that. So.
Amazing. Well, again, a huge thank you on behalf of the Tiny House community for sort of putting the event on, for organizing and orchestrating it all. And I can't wait to see you in May in California. And everyone that's listening, be sure to get your tickets. Going to be a great weekend, and we look forward to seeing you then. As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, any questions for future episodes, any ideas, then please do get in touch. Instagram's the easiest way to reach me, at Tiny House Ideas. If you'd like to support the podcast, as I've mentioned, it's available on Patreon to support, and we've got a private Discord group there where we can have the discussion. We can really break down the podcast, talk about each episode, talk about upcoming episodes, and also watch all of the new releases early.